crazy story.
Hey, this is Scotty Moore with Fest Pop. We are in Sacramento, California at Harlow's. It's June 20th, 2018. I have the privilege, the honor, to be the founder of The Colleen, Alex.
Hello. It's me, Alex Band.
Alex Band. And
my real last name.
And yeah, I just got to see all your music, new and old, and
oh, yeah. What do you think?
And I'm super excited. Me and my girl, we were just like rocking out, and I'm like, this is gonna be at festivals. We're gonna see him at Coachella. I hear that. Bottle Rock. We were just at Bottle Rock in Napa Valley. So I'm just super excited for you, man.
And I
did my research, and you got through the grind of the bullshit music festival industry with bullshit label contracts and your creativity
and personal thing.
But you know, the thing is, the diversity, you know, so if anything, before we get into the whole music festival thing, let's go into the whole positive thing, because you've overcome diversity, man.
Yes.
And this, what is your message for all our listeners, our fans out there? Like,
I mean, number one, don't give up on your dream. Number two, don't take it for granted either once you reach it, because I had it, and you know, and it was taken away from me by, and I can't say what it was, but it wasn't because the calling failed. It was because of a lot of extraneous reasons, and
by the way, for the record, Alex is the calling. He was like a Sealy Dan, hired studio musicians.
Hired people. Except that this time around, I do not want to do that. So I'm finding, like, my drummer Daniel he's a band member. So the calling this time is gonna have a more not as an ever changing. The facial, recognition. But no, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in about 7 years ago, 6 years ago at 29, and that I couldn't speak. I was in a wheelchair. I was in and out of hospital. I definitely never thought I'd perform again. And this was right after taking care of. Years trying to save my first wife's life, she was dying for years, and I became a huge advocate and an ambassador for Donate Life, organ donation, and trying to save her life for years.
So, do you have like a nonprofit that we can call out?
I mean, I did my duty with UNOS and Donate Life for a lot of years. And I wish them the best, but I got her saved, but it wasn't with an organ transplant like she needed. It was with the crazy, surgery that I created, and a lot of doctors from around the world. So that saved her life. But we unfortunately split because of just going through crazy stuff. So I did that for a while. But then I got Parkinson's, so that kind of threw everything, and I got into that. But then that's my, I guess, the saving grace is I'm one of like two human beings on the planet who it's actually digressing. It's
amazing. You shouldn't be talking right now.
No, I don't. I'm not even on Parkinson's meds anymore. I'm like a weird guinea pig for them, because I went from like totally. A mess to being able to be doing this again.
Yeah, and then
just doing it again, but doing it better, I think, than I did. So I'm just super blessed.
No, it's there's something there, man. And again, I want to know that secret. Like, during that time, that hard time, was it music that healed your soul?
I had written all the songs for this new Hauling record before. They were all demos, but I written it all before I got Parkinson's, right before.
Yeah.
And this was the first time in my life that my own music, listening to it over and over, is what helped me get through something. So I got to experience what a lot of fans around the world have experienced with my music.
Yeah.
With the earlier Hauling records, how they say, you know, and that's like the biggest... Obviously, one of the biggest compliments I can get. And I've never been able to understand that, honestly. Like, how could a record really get you through it? But this new album that I wrote a long time ago actually did get me through that.
We were listening to your music, man. Something your new music, man, is... And
it's a killer,
thank you.
Dude, the record's killer.
And we were feeling like, hey, this is our little private showcase.
Yeah. Thank you for watching, you know, new songs you've never heard and, you know, not being bored or going and sitting down. But I mean, I know I'm biased because it's me, but this new record is... unbelievably stellar. I wrote it in a time of insane despair between label nightmare and my wife dying.
Yes. Yeah.
Then it brought me back to life through Parkinson's, and then I finished the record when I was becoming free of this physical trap. I was in like an 80-year-old body. Yeah. And as I became better, I was able to start playing and record it and make the record. So it's a crazy thing. Yeah.
No, Alex, I appreciate you sharing that. Okay, so let's go back in your teen years. Los Angeles, right?
Born and raised in Hollywood.
Hollywood, yeah. Okay. So first music festival as a fan, because, you know, all our fest fans.
I mean, back then... there was not Coachella. There was not... I'm trying to remember as a kid. Because at 15... I was taking out of high school.
Because
I was signed at 15.
Yeah, you were signed. Okay, first festival
Dave
as...
Dave Matthews. I was label mates with Dave Matthews.
All right, so first festival that you got your gig. Your first gig as a festival.
Okay, let's
festival.
Do that. My first festival...
Because you wrote their song at 15, your hit song, right?
I did. I wrote Wherever You'll Go when I... Well, 16.
Yeah, you're 16.
So, yeah, no, my... I mean, honestly, my first festival, yeah, performing at it with me and...
What was that?
I think it was Wango Tango. It was like at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my
Do you remember the lineup? Do you remember the other... in the green room?
Yeah, it was
room?
Me and Santana and...
Santana.
Yeah. I think I played before Santana, and I met him, and then I
did you ask for, like, some guitar lessons? Like, hey, show me some licks?
No. No, but I wonder if that's where he saw me play and then wanted me to be on his, you know, on that song later, which became a big hit. Because then I did that Wango Tango again the next year, and that's when I had the hit with him. So then, and he didn't play it that year. But anyway, it was interesting. That was kind of my first festival. Growing up, it was my dad taking me to see Paul McCartney at the Hollywood Bowl.
What did mom and dad do?
Dad was a crazy bee. He's the king of the bee movies. He's made every bee movie, like...
Director,
creator, producer, reanimator, puppet master, Halloween, Ghoulies,
and your
Transformers.
And your dad's name is?
Charles Band. It's Empire, but it's Full Moon. That's the company. He's made 280 movies. So I grew up in
so crazy props around the...
Oh, yeah, dude. One of my first memories as a child is watching a woman getting her... boobs eaten off by a giant
baby monster, a baby zombie,
giant baby.
Yeah,
a giant baby. It was like demonic toys or some dolls. I don't know. He did a lot of movies that actually had, you know, big cult followings, and so I was lucky. But in the beginning years, it was not lucky because he was.
And what did mom do?
Mom was not around. Mom abandoned me when I was younger and moved to Germany and started a family there.
Gotcha. So musical. Who's musical in the family?
My dad's brother is a music composer. He scored all my dad's movies, and also he scored Texas Ranger for 10,
so how does
12
this,
years.
Like,
but he's not... It doesn't do what I do.
I'm sure you've heard of, like, Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers, the 10,000-hour rule. So how does a 16-year-old write a hit song. So that means you were writing songs when you were younger?
I made my first record when I was 11.
Oh, yeah, you were younger.
I was writing my first songs when I was four.
Four?
Yes.
Four. Okay, so all your four-year-olds, like what?
I had a little mini cassette recorder, and I would record songs. I still have some of those songs.
So it makes sense. 10 years later, 15, yeah.
But there's videos of me when I'm like two singing.
So Malcolm Gladwell, you got to add Alex into your Outliers Part 2 that he was part of that because they use all these examples of the 10,000 hour rule.
Yes. No, it was in my blood, and I always knew I didn't want to do what my dad did. Yeah. Especially when, like, you know, people that weren't being paid on time in the early years of his thing would come and, like, blow up his car at our house and fun times like that.
Yeah.
I was born in the Liberace's mansion. Yeah, that gives you an idea of my crazy life.
Yes.
And when I was two, I was pulled out of my bedroom window because half of our house was burning down because he forgot to pay the pyro guy from a movie set.
Why hasn't your life been into a movie yet?
I don't know, but I've been on tour, I've been held hostage, I've been electrocuted, I've had crazy things happen, and then finally when I was feeling better just a couple years ago, The Calling played their my first show, and it was a state fair festival thing.
Yeah.
Outside of Detroit, which I didn't know we were outside of Detroit, and I got kidnapped. Yeah, remember hearing about that?
Where was this?
This was in Flint, outside of Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan. Here,
and I got kidnapped at 1 a.m. outside my hotel, beaten with a police baton. They broke all my. I'm still missing. Look, all my teeth. I've had three jawbone transplants, the cadaver transplants. That's five years and a half, 4 years of this. It was crazy. So that was like God saying, it's not time. So I waited a few
Why don't
years.
We hear about that in the rock and roll world? We don't hear about that shit.
Type online, Alex Band Kidnapped.
Yeah.
Trust me. I was on CNN, Fox. I was on everything.
What year was that?
It's 2013.
2013. Holy shit. That's actually when I started my company, so I was nose down. Yeah.
I was nose down. And you know what? I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready physically yet. So it was a wake-up call, but I didn't need to be kidnapped, thank you, for that. I mean, it took him a year, the detectives, to find the guys, and they put him in jail.
Okay, full circle, when we first started this about overcoming diversity, because I think you have an amazing message, and maybe we haven't clarified it yet. Because you keep on getting punched and you keep on getting up. You keep on getting punched and you keep up. Parkinson's up.
Yeah.
Baton kidnapping too, and you keep on getting up.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you should write a motivational book. You're like, fuck Tony Robbins up.
Yeah.
Because it's like, because everyone, 99.9% of the people that you sing to experience that day in and day out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I mean, look, I've sat in hospitals for months at a time in the last few years, just kind of, you know, I'm not feeling sorry for myself, but really, you know, like, going back in time and kind of remembering all the amazing things. And this is when I didn't know I was going to be able to come back with this, and just wondering why is this happening, and like I said, it was my music that kept me going, and it's all I know, and I truly believe it was my calling, and that's why I came up with the name The Calling, to be playing music, and that's why I was put here. I mean, I don't know anything else in life but to sing and to write these songs, and, you know, it's the fans out there that kept lingering, like, even after I had been gone for like a decade.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, like, and then silly things that
when I see a marquee, The Calling, right. I thought it was a cover band,
right? But silly things like that are big deals, but like they really aren't. Like Wherever You'll Go was the number one song of the last decade, you know. That was a huge cool thing, and but it came at like a time where it was meaningless for me, you know. And then it was, you know, but now I could really look at that and respect it and stuff. So I don't know the answer to your question.
Well, the answer is like for that.
I have that, the answer is I've never doubted. No, I take that back. I've doubted myself because I've had a million record industry people tell me to quit and go home. So.
Yeah. In fact, fuck them.
Fuck them. Yeah. I mean, Wherever You Will Go was, we were pushing that at radio in 2001, and 7 months into it, it was, you know, about to break, and they pulled the plug. I put my own money into it at RCA Records to push it 2 more months, and it exploded. So, I mean, I've always just believed in myself enough to keep going.
So that's magic. Maybe that's it. Believe in yourself.
Yeah, if you believe in yourself enough and keep going.
So, if you get punched, Parkinson, you get punched with a baton, believe in yourself.
Yes.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself enough but still I wouldn't have been able to get through it without knowing how many people I've positively affected with my music.
Yes.
In so many places in the world. You know.
It's a blessing.
That's amazing. I'm blessed to be able to have done that. And I really wanted to keep doing it. It was taken from me. It really was. And I never wanted to stop. I could have put out 10 records by now. Not 2.
No, I know.
I guess that's
all. All right. So the next phase of the question is new music. So new album, right?
Yeah.
So it's out there?
No.
So when is that going to be out?
No. I'm being very careful choosing right now the right record label.
Gotcha.
To go with. It's not that we... It's a beautiful situation to be in. It's not that we don't have a record deal offered.
Bidding war. And Fest Pop will put that out there.
honestly, these days, it's not even about a bidding war because as great as it is to put money in your pocket up front,
yes.
If the contract doesn't guarantee they're going to spend X amount of money.
By the way, Spotify is actually doing upfront money, right? You heard about that, right?
Right. there's a lot. Oh my god, we can get into royalties another day.
Let's go.
But anyway,
We're
finding this month really the part of this tour that's very low key.
Yeah.
That you didn't even know about. It is very low key. We're playing for very. This is kind of a trial for us.
It's a showcase.
And and
we're honored.
And it's just that. So like in LA, the different labels will be there. We'll figure out who constructs it perfectly, and depending on what we do, depends on when the record will come out. So, you know, will it come out this year? No. I wish it could, but in reality, no. It'll be first quarter next year.
All right, and the calling catalog is, we're going to cut this a couple seconds. Two scenarios. It's Armageddon, and you only have one track to play of your catalog. What is that track?
Don't Want to Miss a Thing? Oh, wait. No, that's not me. Gosh. Yeah, I'd play a new song.
I know, that's all I want to hear.
I'd probably play a song we played tonight called Stand Up Now.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. All right, okay, same scenario, and you get to bring a collaborator on stage with you, living or dead. Who would that artist be?
Paul McCartney.
There we go.
I got to spend time with him once. And his bands who played on all the Calling records. So, that would be... To be able to play with him would be crazy. That would be insane.
Alex.
Or Bono. Either one.
Yeah. Alex, privilege, honor, man.
Hey,
thank you so much, man.
Thanks for coming. I appreciate
it. And I can't wait to hear the new album, man.
Yeah, I can't wait for people to hear it.
All right. To be continued. We're going to have a lot more by the Calling.
Thank you.